Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Redford, Michigan, of Mexican descent. A $150 raffle ticket in 1979 at a Builders Association dinner dance changed his life. He started a business that same year with less than $20,000 to his name, and today, Ideal Group is one of America's largest Hispanic-owned firms with revenues of $200 million and over 500 employees. His name, Frank Venegas Jr., and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Frank Venegas Jr., who changed his life and a lot of people's lives in Southwest Michigan with a $150 raffle ticket in 1979. Frank, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Being on the show with so many other people that you've interviewed is quite a humbling experience for me. Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
Well, it was my father. Actually, my father's grandparent, mother and father, come from Mexico in 1917, and my dad took me out of the southwest Detroit and moved us to Redford. I was about 2 years old, and my father was an assembly line worker, and my mother was an aspiring entrepreneur, and she was a seamstress in the neighborhood.
What's the biggest thing, Frank, you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
My dad, I think the Mexican side of being tough and being honest. My mother, definitely becoming an entrepreneur, watching her work her dimes and nickels and sewing people's pants and skirts and things. And then, you know, before we knew it, we had more customers coming in every night. Then we had the opportunity of Miss Harriet's dance studio, and she said, you know, we'd like to have you do all these recital outfits. And now she's in the big time, and she made money and put the money in a jar, and it was quite an incredible thing to watch my mom blossom into being something that she always wanted to be as an entrepreneur.
Your dad goes out on strike, you run out of money, and your mom comes up with something. Tell us about that story.
Well, it was a long strike. I must have been about 10, 12 years old. It was 60, 62. And there was a strike at Ford Motor Company. It was about 60 days long, and the money was real tight. My mom and dad were arguing about money and where were they going to get the money to take care of the next house payment. And my mother said, Frank, I got money. And so she said, come on, Frankie, let's go back to the room. And we went back there and grabbed about 10, 12 ball jars, brought them out to the table, and my dad looked at it at first, and, you know, he kind of said, well, you know, what kind of money could you have? Well, by the time that we added up all the money after the last ball jar, he was shocked. But on the other side, being a strong Mexican, he didn't like his wife making the money around the house, and she retired from the seamstress business and worked at the 5 and 10. But that's how I kept my mind on why I was going to be an entrepreneur. And that's what I am today.
It's 1979. You're married. First child on the way. You just bought a house. And there's a Builders Association dinner dance. Tell us about that night.
Well, I was working for a company here in Detroit, and there was a rule called the Bud Rule. And the Bud Rule was, is if I bought the ticket, I got the prize. And I asked my boss, Bud, if he would sponsor me for this $150 ticket, and he chose not to. And all my friends were going to be there, and we had the opportunity to sing and dance and drink around the Cadillac. But at the end of the night, one person was going to drive home with the car. And they took every 5 or so minutes, they took a thing out of the barrel, and I knew I was going to win. And on the bottom of the barrel was my ticket, and I drove the Cadillac home that night.
How long did you keep that Cadillac, Frank?
When I think about it, gosh, I could have had so much fun in it. I had 9 great days in it, and I sold it on the 9th day. I sold it for $12,000 in a used car to an attorney up in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And I took that money with my 401k money with the company I had, and I started Ideal. And that was the start of my career in December of 1979.
You've got $20,000 to your name. Your wife's pregnant. You just bought a house. You're Hispanic. Where did you get the chutzpah, the courage, the audacity to ever follow your dream and think you could start a business, a successful business?
My mother and the sewing machine. And it's kind of ironic because the sewing machine is still in my headquarters office as soon as you walk in, and it's just remembering being an entrepreneur. And it's my mother. As ironic as it is, it was my mother.
You start the business in December of 79. The revenue of the company is $400,000 in 1980. Then we have the recession of 81. A recession, Frank, is when a lot of people are out of work. A depression is when you and I are out of work. A lot of people were talking depression, 18% plus interest rate. Tell us about those days, 1981.
Well, I was selling house beams, and if your house has a basement, I'm the guy that sells the steel beam that goes in your house. Well, you put one beam or two beams for every new house being built. And in 1980, 81, and 82, interest rates varied between 18 and 22%. There were no homes being built. I went into the wood stove business, and I sold wood stoves and prefab fireplaces. At that time, the oil embargo, people were watching their dollars, and they were heating their house with wood. And I sold wood stoves. And at that time, in 83, I sold more wood stoves than anybody in Michigan. And it was, it got me through those horrible times until we got into the good times.
We're talking to Frank Venegas, and I believe he's a male version of the late, great Eleanor Joseitis. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Frank Venegas Jr., the founder and CEO of Ideal Group. It's one of America's largest Hispanic-owned firms. Talking about Eleanor Joseitis, once in a while, God sends us an angel. Sometimes it's disguised. And Frank, an angel that he sent you years ago was a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, Hank Aguirre. Tell us about Hank Aguirre.
Well, Hank was, first of all, he was a tall Mexican. And that's what, actually, that was his nickname. And he was 6'5". He was from California. And he played baseball. And he pitched for the Detroit Tigers for quite a few seasons. He actually got into the All-Star game 1 year. And he had the lowest ERA average in the league 1 year. But as all people, you retire. Hank loved Detroit. And Hank started a business here. And he started with 3 sewing machines and a couple people. He grew the company to, well over 1,500 people, the revenues of in excess of $200 million. And his places were located right in southwest Detroit, right in Mexicantown. Well, he started his business the same year I did, 1979, but Hank went one way and I was going the other way, and we got to know each other a little bit, and got to know that Hank liked to have a couple beers and liked to socialize, and Hank knew that I kind of had fun out there too, so Hank always watched me and introduced me to the right people. And when Hank got cancer and he knew he was going to pass, he said that, you know, you need to step up. You got to be one of the guys. And And he called me a chicken because I was out in the suburbs. My plants were out in Livingston County, out near Brighton. And when Hank passed, four of us got religious. And we looked at each other, and it was Carmen Munoz and Facundo Bravo and the late Rick Gonzalez and myself. And we went to General Motors and told them what our aspirations were, is to take one of our businesses from the suburbs and bring it into Southwest Detroit, bring it right down in Mexican Town. And General Motors made us a nice deal, and each one of us opened up a company and one of our existing companies, and we went out and tried to hire people.
And how has that changed your life, going to Southwest Detroit?
Well, I don't think I ever left Southwest Detroit, Jack. I mean, when my grandmother, I can still remember going up and down Michigan Avenue over towards Trumbull by the ballpark, going by the old Detroit Lions headquarters office and wait to see if there was a black Cadillac out there to see who might be there. Just, you know, the feeling of there, going down, seeing my grandparents, my cousins and things, and seeing what's going on. But gosh, they built cars there, and I mean, there was always things going on, but then it died. But I don't know, I just never, ever, ever left. And when I had opportunities to go into the neighborhoods and really, really make a change, when we opened the Hispanic Manufacturing Center, we went out into the into the neighborhood, and we found, what could we do to help create a better environment? There was unemployment that was almost 30%. There was gangs running around and prostitution, and people really didn't see a real lot of hope, but we were still living there. And I had a chance to go to the clergy and go to the police and go out in the neighborhood, and I found that there was a lot of gangs, and these gangs, they wanted something too. And when I had the chance to sit down with four of the five major gang leaders and say, what can I do to get you to not play gang activities here? And it was amazing. They told me they wanted jobs, they wanted opportunity, they wanted a ladder to climb, and they didn't want me to leave. And so the four of us, I think we hired at that time 80 gang guys and four major gangs, and we put them all together, and they worked together. And that was the first step, the first building block, I felt, that we bridged in Southwest Detroit.
The name of the show is Anything Is Possible. With God, anything is possible. You go hiring gang members, ex-cons, that is impossible. Impossible. Why did it work?
Well, anything's possible. and that is really true. It's beyond that. You know, you ask me how it come about with me. And my grandmother, she was the lady of the neighborhood who helped other people. My grandma and grandpa only had my father, so they were well off. They had jobs. They worked at Ford, and my grandmother worked at Banner Laundry. So, you know, there was always that spirit of what can you do? My father was the same way. I mean, he was with it in baseball, and he was always good and always looked for things. I guess when we moved down into Detroit, we had to take a look and see what could we do to make the difference. And it really, gangs were just the one part of it, because we had to have skilled people to teach the gangs. And we had people that were from outside in the suburbs, and we brought them into Detroit. And now they have to work with the gangs. And then we had to find that little mixture of both. The ones that could speak Spanish, understand what it is and how it is in the culture of the neighborhood, and find those high-skilled people in Southwest Detroit that we've always had. And that was the trick, was making the little blend. It was a recipe, and it just worked.
You're the founder and CEO of Ideal Group, which consists of seven business units, from design build work for the construction industry to supply chain solutions for the major automotives. Why did you come up with the name Ideal Group?
Actually, I wanted to name the company Cadillac Steel, and somebody already had the name of the company. It sounded good, and it's become the ideal thing. And when you really think about it, I kind of think when I hear someone says that's the ideal way to do it, it makes me and reminds me of the way that we run our businesses. And again, it's not just how we run our businesses. It's how we run ourselves and how we run our customer service. It's just the ideal way.
Talking about the ideal way, describe to us the culture of the Ideal Group.
Well, first of all, we're out of our minds. When you come into Ideal, it's a little bit of everything, but I would say it's the Silicon Valley of the manufacturing. Because when you come into Ideal, like I said earlier, you see my mother's sewing machine. But then you see all these pictures and all these things that got history with it. Because I've been in business now for, 32 years. I'm going to be in my 33rd year. And there's lots of things to show. But the most important thing is when you see the people. When you see the people operate, how they work. And the way I was taught and the way that I've always worked is you take it out of the box, you look at it complete, and you take it apart, and then you put it back together and see if you can make it better. And that's how and the way we do things at Ideal. And whether it's the way we do it in construction or when we invent things or the way we present and invent and make processes now, I mean, we become a real highly crazy place.
Two of your mantras that you talk over and over is one, a common sense strategy, and two, controlled growth. Talk about those two.
Well, common sense has got to, common sense everybody has. Common sense, so that you understand the common sense that you control, is the part that needs to be trained. When I worked with the guys that made a bad mistake and went to prison, and they had to go to prison for 6-7 years, and you talk to them, and, it just didn't make common sense after you looked back and evaluated. When I talked to the guys about making common sense on what you do in your career while you're out of prison, is you got to do things the right way. You got to do things that make common sense so that you know you got to be at work at 8. So that's common sense and be there at work. And it's just bringing it out and letting them see it. You can talk to an engineer and talk common sense. And they're way off into designing crazy things in really wild fashions, but not at Ideal.
We're talking to Frank Venegas, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Frank Venegas Jr., who started his first company in 1979 with less than $20,000 to his name. And today, it's one of the largest Hispanic-owned firms in America. Frank, what is a customer to you?
A customer is why we have a business. A customer, first of all, you got to take care of the customer. Even before you even think about selling anything or doing anything. So the customer is king. The customer is the person. The customer is, I can remember when I first started working for the other guy, when I used to do what my grandfather told me. My grandfather always said, do what your boss doesn't want to do. And I'd go load the guy's truck up, put the stuff in the truck, and the guy would be surprised that I did this all on my own. And then before I know it, he'd tell my boss that he's a good guy out there. And, I've done that, and I've always done that. And the people at Ideal try and do it even better. And it's real good because when you take care of a customer, he tells someone else. And then they also tell you, what you should make, what you should design, since we're inventors. So many of my products come from my customers because they ask me and they say, okay, you know, have you ever thought about trying this, or have you ever seen this? And it's amazing on how much you learn when you listen to your customer.
Speaking of inventions, one of your most successful is the Ideal Shield. Tell us what that is, how it come to be, etc.
Well, the Ideal Shield is, well, you know, everyone's heard the pet rock. Well, the Ideal Shield's the pet rock of my business, really everybody's business. And it's a thing that you'll say to yourself and say, whoa. Anyways, this is a bumper post or a bollard. And what they are is they're in front of the windows at McDonald's and in front of banks and in front of almost everywhere you go. And they're that piece of pipe that stand up that people almost hit to protect the building. Well, they were painting them for years and years and years, and I designed the plastic sleeve to slide over it. And lo and behold, you never have to paint it again. And I've been selling the product now for 15 years. I sell thousands every single day. And how we designed and found it is I worked at an automobile company, and I was watching them painting the bumper posts. And I said, I can do something better than that. And I brought it back to my boss, and he looked at it, and he says, wow, that's pretty cool. He says, you would never have to paint the bumper posts. But his answer to me was, what am I going to do with my painters? And we said, oh, you can do much better than that. And so lucky I kept it in my head, and I kept designing it, and I put it out for market, and it's made ideal.
You and your team currently have 56 patents. 56 patents. Are you like a modern-day Thomas Edison?
No. We're a lot like Silicon Valley. We're a lot where we're out there getting people to come to work and look at things differently. And say, okay, we can make a change on something. And, you know, we first were just doing patents for products and stuff, and now we're looking at and doing process patents, and we're also looking at changing the whole way that you do things differently. Almost everything that happens at Ideal, we just look at it a little differently. So I don't know what I am.
There's a TV evangelist for the last 50 years out in Southern California, Robert Schuller. And he's had this possibility thinker's creed. It goes like this. When faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. Frank, you live that every day in Southwest Detroit. That this community is a mission to you. It's your heart. Tell us about Southwest Detroit.
Southwest Detroit, I don't live there. I live out in the suburbs. I live there the other half of my life because I have my businesses there. But it's the people. It's part of being part of the community, having the opportunity to, one, I've made some money, but I've been able to create opportunities with the money. I've been able to create jobs. I mean, there's nothing better than giving a guy a job that I can see that's out my door and watch him come to work every day and watching him paint his house, and his house looks a little better than the other houses. And then before I know it, the way that we work out in the community with all the people that work for me, we're in the community changing things, and it's just a total different attitude. And we've had to deal with the gangs. I still deal with the gangs all the time. We rationalize on what's right and what's wrong. I take care of my business. They take care of their business. But we've been watching over this community. I had this flat piece of ground that it was about, I don't know, the size of about four soccer fields. And we cut the grass for 20 years, and it was all flat, and nobody used it. And last year, we made it into a park. And we brought all the plants and brought all these people from my place at Ideal. And then all of a sudden, all these people showed up from the community that wanted to help. And I love flowers. And I got to tell you, the flowers that grow at my house are about 2 feet tall. The flowers from the same bulbs that I plant down in southwest Detroit, they're about 4 feet tall. I got to tell you, the colors look different there. The people feel different, and just we got to watch over the community because it's us.
A lot of people are concerned about the future of America, whether our greatest days are behind us. And a lot of people talk about the youth of today. They don't have the values, the work ethic. Talk to us about the youth of southwest Detroit.
We got mixed into a thing called Crystal Ray. Crystal Ray is a charter school. It was the old Holy Redeemer High School. And it's called the school to go to work. And the kids go to work one day a week at the companies. The companies sponsor them. We're having our first graduation class this year, our senior class. So we have four levels of school going. 85% of our kids go to college. 85 to 90% of them graduate and go on to work. We build this community, but it's these kids, they just don't get the chance to see what else is out there. And now with our ability to hire people and have engineers and to manufacture inside our premises and our fences at Ideal and bringing people in, God, the community just seems to be looking over ourselves a lot more. There seems to be hope. It's infectious. We had an opportunity to build a safe house. It's called Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation. We have a computer lab there that's just absolutely incredible. I mean, if I closed your eyes and opened it up, you'd think you were at the University of Michigan's best lab. We let the kids go out there and play and paint and sing. They make T-shirts. We have a gym. You know, in most neighborhoods, there's a gym on every mile corner, but in the hood, we have very few. Just giving people the opportunity. When they see the opportunity, it's amazing to watch them just run. It's crazy.
Crystal Ray, 24 high schools throughout America, founded by a Jesuit named Father Foley. We had him on a few years ago. Phenomenal man, been on 60 Minutes, and just a special, special place. We're talking to Frank Venegas Jr., and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Frank Venegas Jr., who purchased a $150 raffle ticket in 1979, changed his life, and changed the lives of thousands of other people. Frank, what's the biggest thing you're proud of?
Having the opportunity of having my kids take the business into the second generation. I remember when I started the business, and my daughter was born in January, and I started the business in the December before. I used to work 14, 15 hours a day. I'd have the opportunity of having the kids come down on Saturday and hang around the shop and work. I always just wanted the opportunity to get that time back, but maybe have something that someone else wouldn't have, and that would be you imagine being 60 years old and having your kids or having the opportunity to have your kids around you every day. But not just that, but having the desire to take that business to the next level and share the same dreams and the same values. And that's the biggest one that I've had.
One of the things you say over and over is, quote, "I'm just the luckiest guy in the world." There's the famous Tex-Mex Lee Trevino, who used to say, "The harder I work, the luckier I get." Talk about being the luckiest guy in the world.
When you're lucky, you're just lucky. It's not only the lucky things that you get, but I was lucky to learn from some of the mistakes I made too. And I've made lots of them. I've made bad mistakes in business directions. I made some bad mistakes on personal directions. But I've been lucky that I've been able to learn from them and I've been able to gain from it. But, you know, it was like when I won the lottery ticket, when I won the dinner dance. I knew I was going to win before, so I just knew it. There's always a little bit of luck involved with anything and everything, and I'm not just a lucky guy. I don't walk on cracks. I don't walk under a ladder. But you also kind of create your own luck. You create your own opportunities, and sometimes what you think is luck, other people call skill.
There's peaks and valleys in everybody's life. In 2000, you lost $18.4 million, Frank Venegas Jr. Why didn't that overcome you?
Well, it almost did. It was almost impossible. When you fly high, you also can, you know, land hard. And I tried something and it failed. I had strong family. But my family was more than just my son and daughter. It was the people that worked with me. It was the people that rooted for me. And, gosh, I got to tell you, it was pretty hard being low. It's pretty hard being high. But what I found is that humility and just being the right guy, you know, all the time is probably the right way. I think that's how we got through it. Faith. I always not only believed in myself, but I always was able to believe in prayer and being able to have that time where I could think about what I needed to do.
If there's a listener this evening that's down and out, has lost everything, doesn't have a job for a year, just no hope, what do you say to that listener?
Look for a mentor. Look for someone that's, you know, sometimes sharing the same thing you are, but has a totally different attitude than you do. You might be down and out, and he might be out of a job just as long as you, but he's got his positive feeling about it. And maybe he's too positive and you're too low, and you need to get together and learn, because most of the time you can do better with two than you can with one. I've always found is to find someone that I can ask questions to and find that person that cares enough to give you the right advice.
This state and Detroit historically has been manufacturing. Can we manufacture again in Michigan and in Detroit?
God, we are the manufacturers here. And Jack, I got to expand it a little bit more, because it's just not Detroit. It's the Midwest. And, I mean, we've always worked off from each other. I mean, when Detroit was strong, Chicago was strong, and Cleveland was strong, and Indianapolis was strong. And this is the right time for us to get strong together, because we can build here. I do crazy wild things out in California, and when you go talk to them about building something or doing something, the first thing they think about, okay, get that contract manufacturer out there, and then we'll see how much it costs for them to build it for us. Here in Detroit, we take a look at it and say, okay, how can we engineer it? How can we manufacture it? And then how can we get the people to come to work to build it? And that's the greatest thing that we have here in Detroit, because we have the people that can think, the people that can engineer it. But most importantly, we have the people here to build it. And that's something we've always been here, always been builders. And I know we can do it again.
When you walk down and drive down Woodward Avenue and you see what Danny Gilbert and his team is doing and others, What do you see, Frank Venegas?
I see the old Hudson building with the flag on it, where my grandfather used to bring me to buy clothes. I remember the old Palms and Fox Theater where we used to go and watch matinees on Saturdays, and, you know, we're talking about in the 60s. The one building, Hudson's, is gone. The Fox is open, and it's better and more beautiful than ever. But I just see this whole new light on how and the way we do things, and with Midtown and in the city and Southwest Detroit and the East Side, there's just this beauty it's there, and we're Detroiters.
As our time winds down together tonight, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Anybody can do it. You really, really can. And if you feel strong enough about something and you want to know about something, you got to study. And it's not necessarily always in school, but you got to study what you're doing, and you study what you have, and you just keep your head right mixed into it. And the opportunities here are so huge that all you need to do is just really follow the golden rule and, you know, treat people the way that you want to be treated and be kind.
Frank Venegas Jr., your mom and dad look down from heaven every day, and they're proud of you. You're a mentor, you're a leader, you're a role model, you're an angel for our community. And talk about a person who loves life and lives love. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.